Paul Feinbaum is a Memphian. He's a host of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Catch him on ESPN. He is a friend of the show. He joins us now. Paul, honestly, I wish we were meeting under better circumstances, but thanks for being here.
No, well, thank you. No, I'm as sad as everybody listening right now is.
By the way, we'll get to the I'm sure you're wondering why you're being introduced to the Texas fight song.
sorry about that. Yeah.
But we'll address that later in the segment. Yeah, so it's been a tough week. You know, Memphis for so many years, as you know, Paul, has been told the things it needs to do to get to the other side. They need to improve their academics. They've done that. They need to improve football. They've done that. They need to improve their stadium. Well, they're doing that. And not only do they attempt to get an invitation from the Big 12, they are willing to pay upwards of $200 million, forego conference revenue for 5 years, doing things that we just never fathomed the University of Memphis could do. And they still didn't even get a vote on acceptance into this league. What do you make of all of this?
It's really an absolute disgrace. And it's a disgrace because Memphis could easily and most definitely help a league that virtually nobody even knows exists. I say at the front end, and you guys already know it because you introduced me. I mean, I'm from Memphis. I haven't lived in Memphis for 50 years. So it's not like I've been cheering on the Tigers all these times. I have from a distance, but I've been a lot of places. And I know what that community is, and I know what that school means to this community. And I look around the Big 12, and I think of Houston. Do you think anybody in Houston, you know, outside of a couple of basketball fans, knows that the Houston football program exists? I mean, I've been to Houston a million times. You go to Florida, UCF. It's a good school, but Florida is about Florida State and Florida. You know, Baylor. I mean, is in a market that's very small, but Arizona, it's professional. And it's the same way across that league. I'll spare the audience my dissertation, where in Memphis, it would matter. It would be the number one. Memphis would be the number one school. And most of the places in the Big 12 can't count that. So I just think it's idiotic. But then again, Brad Yormark is really a failed commissioner. I mean, he went in there selling everybody on his credentials in the entertainment world, and all the Big 12 has done has slipped deeper and deeper into the abyss. I mean, you've let the ACC move ahead of you, which is not why they paid you millions of dollars. You have a couple of TV deals, but nobody thinks about you. It's all about the Big Ten and the SEC, and the ACC has some contenders, and the Big 12 had Coach Prime and his son and Travis Hunter, and they don't even have that anymore.
If you had to guess, why do you think this didn't even get to a vote from the Big 12 presidents?
Well, because, I mean, these leagues are run by commissioners, and the commissioner, to me, probably killed it before it got there, because otherwise it should have been voted on. Presidents aren't interested in some of the same things that commissioners are. Presidents care about academics. They care about the overall facility. They care about the university. They care about what the school means. And by the way, I was in Memphis a year ago speaking to the Touchdown Club, and they took me by the stadium, and I was shocked. I mean, I had not been there in a long time. I mean, that stadium is top notch. The people of Memphis have really gone all out. You know, you can't spill, you know, cry over spilled milk. I mean, it feels like we were here a couple of years ago in a similar situation, and I said some of the same things, except that Memphis was the community had not gotten as involved. I'm almost at a loss for words, which is unusual for me, but I think Yormark does not look at Memphis as an entertainment capital. He looks at Memphis as something in the past. Now, the one thing I don't know, guys, and I don't even want to open up this can of worms, but sometimes perceptions get hardened, and who knows what all the Stephen A. Smith controversy, you know, whether that, you know, race past Yormark's eyes, and he just decided we're not going there. I don't want to approach it, but it's really it's you know, I think it's time for Memphis to move on, find someplace better, figure out a way to make this university more relevant from an athletic standpoint in both football and basketball. And I'm pretty sure that's going on right now.
So, you know, our operating assumption here is that the and this, it's hard earned, I think, our assumptions, Paul, as you know. But our assumptions are here that the ACC would not really be very privy or open to you know, accepting Memphis. Duke and Cal and Stanford and those the schools of that ilk probably it would rather cease operations before sharing an athletic department with Memphis. Fair or not, I just think that is the reality. So if, by the way, do you agree with that, or do you think maybe that's an old way of thinking?
I do agree with that. Because when I was in Memphis, one of my times recently, I talked to a Memphis official. We had a conversation about the ACC. The only thing about the ACC I will say is the commissioner of the ACC is a little more open-minded. He's not, he's an institutionalist. He worked at Tennessee. He actually got his doctorate at Tennessee. He was at Northwestern. So I think he has a better understanding of community and athletics than Jay-Z's former agent. I think it's a long shot. But I will offer that SMU did a lot of similar things. Yep. and they bought and they're still the reason why SMU and Cal and Stanford got in, because the ACC is pretty convinced they're going to lose a few schools in the future. So I wouldn't give up on the ACC. For all the criticism, I don't need to tell you guys about the basketball heritage. It's a great brand, and I think from a basketball standpoint, it would really matter. I also think it's a league that Memphis could do very well in, mm-hmm. and it's not very far away, which I do like other than a few places. But I would not give up on that. And I'll say this again. I think forget the snobbery of Cal and Berkeley. There's some pretty average academic places in the ACC. What the ACC really wants are, you know, places that matter. And I think Memphis gives them that. It's worth a shot. That's all I'll say.
Well, I'm with you on stopping for a second just to sort of, you know, measure where they are, because and you touched on this, Paul. It was about Rhett Lashley and what he's saying about SEC, but the SMU part of this. I mean, you're the most corrupt program in the history of college football. Yeah, I mean that's their history. You touched on that this morning in another conversation, but it's still the point. And here's the thing: you just pointed to history. You guys did business with them, right? With SMU that has this history, and you're telling us our money isn't good enough for you. And maybe that number, right, is different than it was with the Big 12. But you have to approach it that way. You guys just did business with SMU, and we know they had that rebel rogue history as well. I mean, otherwise, what are you holding us out for?
I think it's worth it. A couple of years ago, I really thought I felt some momentum about that, and I still do. The ACC is in a defensive mode.
Yep.
I think they're pragmatists there. I mean, they have a great relationship. Obviously, they're connected to ESPN. That matters. I don't even know where you can watch a Big 12 game, I swear. I know they have a deal with ESPN. They have a deal with other people, but I could not tell you, nor would I really. Outside of Colorado last year, why would you watch one of their games? Seriously. So I would get a group together from the best and the brightest of Memphis, and I think you guys know where to go there, and at least ask for a meeting. I personally know Jim Phillips very well. He's a friend of mine. I'm not saying that because it doesn't matter in this case, but he's the kind of guy, their offices are in Charlotte. They would take a meeting because I think they have to make sure they are covered.
Right.
In the event that pure chaos occurs, which I think it will, Clemson, Florida State, and back to SMU. SMU bought their way in. SMU is in a spending mode. They just went out and hired the University of Texas president. I mean, is that possible? They did.
Yep.
Because everybody used to talk about blood money at Baylor. You talk about a reputation, but a football stadium was built with blood money. SMU is no different, and I'm really glad I was able to say that. Because, by the way, Lashley, not to get close to home,
yeah.
Lashley, I can tell you, and you guys probably know this, is working behind the scenes, undermining, using his minions, undermining Sam Pittman right now, which is fine. I mean, he's not going to make it, to get that job. So while he's working to undermine a current sitting SEC head coach, he is out there at media days in a prepared statement trashing the SEC. I can't wait for him to come to the league. Can you?
No. Well, I will say Sam's not doing himself any favors here.
No. I mean, you didn't hear me defending him. I'm just stating that while he's out there trashing the SEC, he's trying to get in.
Yeah, trying to get on.
Of course, that's true. We're talking to Paul Feinbaum, Scene Daily, of course, on the SEC Network, ESPN Radio, Memphian. You know. Listen, I hope that the ACC is receptive to that. I truly do, because it's just a little easier. They have autonomy status. That's what everybody is in pursuit of, that autonomy status. But let me throw this at you, Paul, because Memphis basketball is dying a slow death in the American. And I know that these decisions are driven by football. I'll get to that. But my plan, we've called it the Martin plan. It's really not my plan, but it's been talked about, even by Pete Thiem. We wrote about it last month. Would be splitting Memphis football up with Memphis basketball. I would take some of that bribe money that I was willing to give to the Big 12. I would send it to the Big East for basketball. And then I would take my Memphis football program, consolidate in a way the group of six, and I'd send it out west to the Pac-12. And I would know that I control my own destiny in this current college football playoff. Whoever wins that league is getting that spot. What do you make of that plan?
I like it very much because, unfortunately, the two don't really go together. And I'm saying that from a pretty good distance here. But Memphis basketball deserves better. And I've falsely and inaccurately predicted national championships for Penny Hardaway. You will not get that from me today, I assure you. The Big East is a very hot conference. I mean, Rick Pitino a couple of months ago started conversations about that, about the Big East, ACC, some combo plan. And he got traction. I mean, I'm sitting there one morning talking to Mike Greenberg about it, because Pitino matters whether you like him or not. And one thing about Pitino, he knows Memphis. He understands it.
Yep.
And that's the problem with a bullheaded, arrogant, narcissistic commissioner like Brett Yormark. He just doesn't get it. Yeah, I mean, he probably heard of Elvis in the music industry, and I'm sure he's acutely aware of Justin Timberlake and a few others, but they were probably never his clients, so therefore they don't exist in his world.
Would you agree that the winner of that football conference, whatever it is, if it's still group of six, whatever else, but that pack winner would be the for long as that spot exists, right, for that G5, G6 spot with Boise State and Memphis and UNLV that right now looks like it's going to invest in football? And maybe, Paul, where is it, 8 right now? Maybe you need to pull in Tulane because they're scared if Memphis leaves the American, they'd be left dead. But doesn't that football conference look like the one that would assumably get that spot?
Oh, it would be grandfathered in. And by the way, I mean, I was raising Kane. Why are they even being included with two? But to their credit, unlike the Big 12, which has just kind of gone on a buying spree, kind of like your drunk 15-year-old wrecks your car before you even gets it out of the driveway, it matters because it has a name. And right. You know, there are a lot of people that have no earthly idea that the Pac-12 doesn't really exist in its former state. I mean, I don't need to tell you. You do a talk show every day talking to callers.
Yeah, talking to Paul Feinbaum here on Jason and John. Nice enough to join us. Now, look, we haven't had the pleasure of meeting Paul, but I may have to, find your whereabouts before the season gets started so we can just have it out about who's the bigger fan of Arch. Because, you know, I'm ready to crown the Longhorns. I'm ready to crown Arch. I mean, some of the balls that he threw last year against Louisiana Lafayette, I was saying on the show, Quinn, get this clown, Quinn Ewers, out of the game and get a real quarterback in there. Are you believing, are you buying the hype about the Longhorns and Arch?
Yeah, I walked around at halftime at Jerry's World last year, and you guys, I'm sure, have been there. But on the field, they have a lot of boxes. And I bet I got stopped 15 times by some 18-year-old son of a billionaire wearing a cowboy hat and boots saying, "Hey, Feinbaum, how come Arch isn't in the game?" And I was thinking the exact same thing, except Sarkisian is a brilliant coach, but he had a weak spot. Who knows why? Nobody understands coach-quarterback relationships. But he cost himself a legitimate shot at the national championship. I mean, that game came down to the 1-yard line anyway. before Quinn Ewers blew up and ended his career in embarrassing fashion. Arch, and people argue about Arch. I've been on ESPN countless times, and they talk about the same three or four things. The Mississippi State game, the UTSA, those games aren't a factor. Watch at the end of August when he goes up to Columbus. He's going to win that game. I don't have a doubt. You guys know the Manning family. And it's not because entirely the Manning family, but it is part of who he is. This kid's been geared toward, I'd say bred, but then I'm getting in trouble with somebody. But that's exactly what is going on here. And you don't have to believe me or you. Believe people who actually know. He is one of a kind. When I used the Tebow comparison, everybody came after me and said, well, did you forget about Joe Burrows or Cam Newton, Baker? No, of course not. I'm not saying right now. You can't argue right now. But come back in a few weeks. Come back at the end of the season. Come back at the end of his career. He will be in that rarefied air of Tebow.
Educate me, Paul, on how warm or not Hugh Freeze's seat is. Because, I mean, back then, you know, there was a day when here from Memphis, we looked at Auburn, we said, well, they have national championship aspirations, you know, and expectations. And so it must happen quickly. He's going into year three. How are Auburn folks feeling about Hugh Freeze?
It's scorching hot for this reason. Back in February, if you had asked me, I would say Hugh Freeze has a lot of momentum. Recruiting's going well. Everything's going well. NIL's going well. And then this summer happened. And I know I'm going to sound like a lot of pundits, but in the month of June, you guys play golf, he turned in 11 scores on his USGA handicap. I mean, that means that he filed it into the machine at the golf club. That's not counting the fact that maybe five or six times he was in a hurry and didn't do it. And by the way, if he's smart, which I doubt, he's aware that somebody is going to look this up. I mean, by the way, we all know about how transparent Hugh Freeze has been his entire career. I mean, I don't need to tell you guys, he worked in Memphis. Okay. He worked down the street. And he has really turned people off. And instead of just saying, hey, listen, you know, I love golf and I'm going through a lot of things and it's my pastime. He doubled down and said, he actually said this about me. He said, Paul Feinbaum doesn't know anything about recruiting. You know what? He may be right. I'm not sure he does, because he's getting blown up on every recruit that it comes down to Alabama, Auburn, and Georgia. He's lost recruits who have committed. Look, I think they've had a good couple of weeks. They've gone from 87th in one of the recruiting polls to 69th.
Oh man.
Yeah. You're the best, Paul.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate you coming on and visiting with us. I hope to do it again soon.
Pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you guys.
Yes, Paul Feinbaum. My man was on one today.
Yes, sir. Lashley and Hugh Freeze.
And your Mark.
Heat.
And your Mark.
Your Mark did too.
Yeah. That was the big three today. He called, he said he's this former Jay-Z agent. I don't know a damn thing about college sports. That's why I thought the money would have worked on him. And I think that's why Memphis assumed the same, is that that's the money he talks. That's the language he talks, is money.
You don't think he's one of the reasons why they were misled? Is that maybe the commission is saying one thing, but he doesn't have the presidents? The presidents are talking behind the commission's back, a guy who some folks look at it, Brett Yormark, they say he's not smart. Do you think about those presidents and doing things behind his back because they don't feel like...
I got to say that what I heard is that they did think they had the presidents.
Right. So that's
what I'm asking. And the commissioner didn't take it to the vote.
Okay.
I mean, I did hear that they thought they had the president.
Well, it said Hargrave met for 14 months with presidents and
But maybe they didn't
ADs.
Get the commissioner on board.
Okay, so that would mean commissioner never with them. Said, hey, guys, let's go. We're going to get all these guys.
Right.
Not misleading.
Because that's what Feinbaum was saying. Is like, you know, this is the reason they didn't go to a vote is because the commissioner
Yormark
didn't want to go
down.
To a vote.
He said the commissioners are the ones that are not in.
I don't know. I don't know.
He said the commissioners are controlling, and I thought, you know, TV execs got their part to play in it well. But he pointed to Yormark as being the reason.
That's right.
It didn't get to a vote.
That's right. It's been a controversial plan. One gentleman says on Twitter that I am the worst thing about Memphis media because of my plan. You know, which if that's the worst thing about Memphis media, then I think it's a visionary,
even if we're talking
fail-safe
about,
plan.
Even if we're talking about a better for. perhaps existence for both football and basketball, and
right.
we're also saying, let's see the numbers. Like, we're not just saying, hey, jump, give it, get us in there. Let's see the numbers as well, because they could bear out and be pretty good.
They could.
Also, let's take a chance on trying to get Tulane.
Absolutely.
Because I think that ups
rope them in, yeah. Because that gets the Pac-12 to 10.
It gets you to 10,
yeah.
but it's real substance in terms of competitiveness. You've got a program
yep.
that's investing in
yep.
football every year
yep.
and proven it's got some staying power in terms
yep.
of finding the next guy. That guy then jumps to a Power Four. That football program's established.
Exactly.
That.
You have a and travel so partner.
It brings more to the table. I don't know what that bottom line is right now
yeah.
on your TV number, but maybe that helps it because, again,
yeah.
you've got a real competitor. Those Tulane Memphis, Tulane Boise State games, those are just
yep.
as important,
well,
all
I
of those.
Well, I think every year guarantee a distribution from the playoff.
Right.
I mean, because that's
you're
another part of that.
You're guaranteeing it.
Because, I mean, especially if you have Tulane.
Oh, you get tight Tulane, there's nothing in there
yeah.
competes with you.
Yeah.
It really is group of five
yeah.
because the AAC becomes irrelevant
that's
football-wise.
Right. That's right.
Tulane be the only thing holding up.
Look, you're going to have to pay that exit fee. You're going to have to pay it. But you're willing to pay it for the Big 12.
And back to the point, why wouldn't Tulane jump with you at
I think
that
they
point?
Would.
It keeps it even now that
it's
they're
like,
up to eight.
No doubt.
But more importantly, there's nothing left for them. They should look at you as the biggest threat now.
Yeah.
They're not going to win, to get that group of five spot
yep.
in the playoff because their conference schedule won't be strong enough
that's right
to match up with what you've done in conference and then whatever you did in
sign the shorter grant of rights just like you were going to do the first time
with right
and that way you leave yourself some flexibility but although I think that year that date is not as important because the grant of rights is going to go through 2036 I think I can't remember exactly because wasn't there like a hey everybody got back together kumbaya like we're gonna stay together or whatever
through 2030 I think the exit fees dropped to $75 million you're talking about ACC
yeah
exit fees dropped to $75 million in 2030 which has cooled it down for now but
yeah.
they're thinking might still you know whether it's Florida State or whatever else maybe at that point you're ready to roll again that's remember when all the TV contracts all
right,
that's
right
getting renewed
yeah it's so. All confusing but anyway. That's where this is. Thanks to Paul Feinbaum for joining us there on the show.